Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hello.
Here we go. Welcome back to the show. Oh, this is Leading Edge Medicine, hour number two. I'm Lynette and glad you're here. Here is the number to call in to be put into the phone queue. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Now, of course, the show Leading Edge Medicine brought to you each week by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we have three clinics to serve you. Several times you'll hear some of our callers will say, I'm a patient at Longevity, either Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood. And we have our newest facility all remodeled and ready to go in Kirkland. Would love to have you come visit. If you are not a patient yet, we would love to see you here. And Dr. Mixon, one of those things that we like to do is to do a free health analysis test, and that is for your A1C and for a an in-body. And maybe you could explain why these are important for the doctors.
Sure. Well, the A1C measures what your blood sugar has run over the last 3 to 4 months. So it gives us an average number over a long period of time. So if your A1C is down in an ideal range, that's 4.4 to about 5.2, you're in great shape. You probably have very little insulin resistance. Your risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, et cetera, are pretty low. On the other hand, if you've got an A1C running up there at 5.5, 5.6, 5.7, now you're getting in a pre-diabetic range. You are damaging your blood vessels faster, and you are at much higher risk of dementia, heart attacks, strokes, all sorts of vascular disorders, as well as degenerative arthritis. You're probably developing some insulin resistance. And if you're above about 5.6, 5.7, 5.8, 5.9, even 6, now we're really worried about you because you're very close to becoming a diabetic. So at 6.5, you are formally diagnosed as being diabetic. The other test we're going to do is a in-body, and we're going to measure the amount of muscle and fat in your extremities, all four, arms, legs, as well as your torso. We'll also look at intracellular and extracellular water content. And these will give us a big hint as to what your future portends as far as medical complications. Turns out that muscle is very protective. Muscle produces over 600 compounds we refer to as myokines that are growth factors that allow you to grow new brain tissue. Peripheral neuropathies tend to go away. You're able to heal and repair more robustly from any sorts of injuries or diseases. On the other hand, increasing amounts of fat are pro-atherogenic. That is, they tend to plug up your arteries and to predispose you to dementia, diabetes, degenerative joint disease, because they are increasing inflammation throughout your system. So looking at that ratio between muscle and fat is very important. And what many people don't realize is you can be fairly thin and still have too much fat, because you look nice and thin, but you don't have enough muscle mass to offset the amount of fat that is inside your belly. And so we call these our skinny fats. These are people that have the ratio between muscle and fat is off. And so we're looking for these. Now, if we see that you have risk for your future based on those two tests, and then we're going to strongly encourage you to go ahead and get a full panel. And this one is not free. That one is $595, so just under $600. But it'll get you about $2,000 worth of laboratory work and an hour with the doctor to go over those labs. And that'll give us a lot of detail about what we need to do to get you where you want to go. So the doctor's going to sit down with you. They're going to go over your history. They're going to go over your goals. What are your problems? What are you trying to solve? And then they'll go over about a 70 to 72 page laboratory panel and come up with a tentative plan. If you want to get from where you are to where you're hoping to go, here's what we're going to need to do. Now, at that point, you get a choice to make. You can say, you know what? I'm happy the way I am. I don't want to improve things, in which case you go on about your life with our blessing. On the other hand, if you don't like what time and gravity are doing to you and you want to fix it, then you need to choose to become a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic, and we'll make you as strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and happy as humanly possible for as long as possible. That's what it's all about.
There you go. So we want you to make that appointment. Come into whichever of our clinics is closest to you. You have a choice of going to Linwood or Tacoma or Kirkland. We have three clinics for you, and that health analysis is free. Come on in, find out what your body is doing and what life has done to it so far, and start getting healthier, and you're going to feel so much better too. In 6 months, a year down the road, here's that number to call. To make that appointment, you can do that right now. 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Now, you can also go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. That stands for Longevity Medical Clinic, lmclinic.com. And you can find our calendar there. You'll click the button that says free health analysis appointment, pick the day and the time and the location that best works for you, and we'll get you all scheduled. All right. That number again, 866-86-YOUNG, or online, lmclinic.com. All right, Dr. Mixon, let's take another phone call.
Let's do it.
We have Susan on the line from Bellevue. Hi there, Susan. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, Susan. How can we help?
Hi. Okay, for several years, I get this frog in my throat, and then I cough and cough and cough to clear my throat. And I've had multiple tests, my esophagus, the esophagus test. Two ENT doctors have said it's coming from my esophagus, acid reflux type of a thing. I have a duodenum hernia that could be part of the problem.
Right.
And but I also have chronic sinusitis, and I know I can kind of tell where this mucus is coming from, because sometimes I have to blow my nose a lot, and and I get drainage down my nose, and then it ends up in my throat, and then I cough and cough. And then I have days where I don't have any symptoms at all, but when I have the symptoms, I'll cough for several hours at a time, clearing my throat, and it's exhausting. And I get a sore throat from it. And I've seen two different ENT doctors, and they both said it had to do with the esophagus. And I did get a scope of that, and then they, you know, it showed that that was a problem. But I don't think that's the whole problem. I think some's coming from my nose. The one ENT doctor recommended antacids. Well, I can't take antacids because I have kidney disease, and that's hard on your kidneys. And I'm not sure I believe in antacids anyway. But I have been taking Pepcid, but it hasn't done any good. And let's see what else. Yeah, I don't know what to do, but it's really It really affects my whole lifestyle because I'll be doing some ministry work or something, and I'm coughing and coughing and coughing, and then I'm just wiped out.
You're going to give them some dread disease.
Yeah.
Flying an airplane. Yeah, everywhere I go, the grocery store and everything, they give me these dirty looks. And
yes.
I don't know what to do.
Yes, and we have become very censorious about diseases and people who cough.
Yes.
You know, you ever wonder why during COVID toilet paper got to be in short supply?
I always wondered that. Yeah. It was like, and now it is again. It's like, well, it's not in short supply, but it is because people are panicking and because of the peers.
This is a respiratory. Oh. People are going to cough.
Yeah. You know, I know, and I have to tell people, I'm not sick. I'm not sick.
I think my wife came up with a reason why, when in COVID, toilet paper got to be in short supply. And that is, you'd be in a public space, one person would cough, and six people would mess their pants.
That could be.
So that was I think that was a toilet paper shortage.
Yeah.
Okay.
One other thing, just real quick. My ENT doctor also has me on budesonide and imipramine, which I mix in water and I squirt up my nose. But all it does is make me cough more.
All right. So we got two different issues going on here. One, do you have a hiatal hernia that's having you reflux gastric juices and irritants and acid up your esophagus? Now, you've taken Pepcid, which should turn off the stomach acid, but you're still doing the coughing. Although you should notice that turning off the stomach acid doesn't stop the reflux. It just neutralizes the reflux. Now the stuff you reflux is less acidic, but it's still digestive juices and can irritate you. So that doesn't necessarily mean that's not part of your problem. The other problem is your postnasal drip, which we'll talk about when we get back from this little break because I hear the music in the background.
All right. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. You stay right there. We'll be back. And Susan, you stay there too.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. Crazy for feeling so blue.
And we're back with Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry is talking with Susan from Bellevue. Lots of things going on with sinus and esophagus. And
I mean, just clearly, I have not examined the lady. I haven't gone over her medical records or any imaging studies. But just based on the history I'm getting, it sounds like she may have two problems.
Let me add one thing that kind of confuses the issue, and that is I don't have acid reflux or heartburn symptoms.
No,
I don't.
You don't have pain, at least.
I don't have pain in my chest, and I don't have food that comes up from my stomach up my esophagus.
Right.
I burp a lot.
Well, unfortunately, both belching and chronic cough can be the only symptoms of gastroesophageal reflux. So, you know, that's why your doctors are considering it. And then if they did the endoscopy to prove it, if they see that valve at the top of the stomach is open and things are coming back through, then they've got a firm diagnosis. So that's what the endoscopy is all about. The other thing, though, is, you know, you can have more than one issue. And many older people have chronic irritation up in their upper airway where they are draining extra mucus down the back of their throat. And that extra mucus down the back of your throat will make you clear your throat and or cough. It happens to me a lot. That's why you keep hearing me clear my throat on the air. You know, I have to go like this to get the mucus off. You know, it's nothing I want to take a medication for. I just clear my throat a lot. You can, assuming your nephrologist, your kidney doctor says it's okay, use a non-sedate antihistamine. There are some medications that don't make you drowsy that are antihistamines that can decrease the amount of mucus we produce. So you might chat with your kidney doctor about that. And
okay.
Because we don't want to complicate your kidney situation. But
I am on something that I didn't mention. It's AZELASTINE, to spray up my nose. Is that it? Antihistamine?
No.
Azelastine?
No, it's I think that one is a steroid, but they're,
it's not doing any good.
Little tiny pills. You take one a day during the daytime.
Okay.
And they tend not to make you drowsy, and they may help dry up your nose. They're worth a try. They're, you know, cost you $15 to find out if it works. If it's worth, if it works, $15 a month is worth it. And if it doesn't work, don't do it again. You know.
Okay. Any other words of wisdom?
Well, a couple of questions is, are you overweight?
Yes.
Okay. That can certainly aggravate that reflux. One thing people don't realize is we don't just put fat on our belly. We put fat inside our belly. And that increases the pressure inside the abdomen and causes us to push things back up and out. And so I found that many times losing weight makes a big difference in the reflux symptoms.
Well, that brings up something else I was going to throw into the mix. I've been on Ozempic, and a few years ago I was on it, and I lost weight. It was great. It just, I was very indifferent to food, didn't have a bit much of an appetite. I've been on it now, and I'm not losing any weight. It's not working, and I don't know why.
Well, there are other versions of it that may be more effective for you. They just tend to cost a little more. The original semaglutide is now generic and pretty cheap. But you could also simply increase the dose a bit.
Well, I'm up to now just increased to 2 milligrams.
Okay. That's a pretty good dose, and most people of that dose do not have much of an appetite.
I know. But,
you know, talk to your prescribing doctor. See if they would okay you going up to 2.5. A little bit more of an increase. I have known the occasional person to get up to 3, but certainly I don't want you doing that on your own. You chat with your doc, make sure that someone's supervising.
Yeah.
Or there are other versions that are slightly different molecules that when one stops working, sometimes one of the others will take its place and do a good job for you.
Okay, well, I'll try this, look into this antihistamine, because I've wondered about that. That just made sense to me, but I haven't known, you know, what to get, so I'll look into that.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Let me...
He's tapping on his computer.
Non-sedating antihistamines. And let's see. Sedating-antihistamine. Okay, so I ought to get a list of them here. Let's see. Of course, this gives me all of them in the world, not just the ones approved in the United States. So, hang on. Trying to see something you can find in the drugstore without...
having to get a prescription,
without,
maybe?
Yes, without getting a prescription, and that will give you... Okay, Allegra is a very common one. And it's been around for 30 years or so, and it should have very few side effects. So look under the brand
I'll
name.
I'll run it by my Allegra. My doctor. Okay, that sounds great. One other quick question. Removing the hernia is overkill, right?
Well, not necessarily.
That would be like, that's an extreme thing.
Well, it's a surgical procedure. It used to be a very, very big procedure. Now they can do it through the laparoscope, where they just make little tiny puncture wounds in the abdomen, and they go in with a scope. They just pull that that defect closed and put a staple or a single stitch across it, and that may be it. So if they can do it that way, you go in the morning and home in the afternoon is all that's involved.
Oh. Oh, because I'd heard it was a big major surgery, and that seemed like, you know.
Back when I was a lad in medicine, it was. Again, 25, 30 years ago, the laparoscopic mm-hmm. techniques were developed, and it mm-hmm. became okay. a much smaller procedure.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Well, I'll try this Allegra. That didn't work. I'll look into this laparoscopic solution.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Thank you for the call, Susan. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Here's our number so that you can get through and talk to Dr. Mixon, 206-421-5757. That number again is 206-421-5757. We're headed to, well, we're going to stay in Bellevue. Dr. Mixon, we have Jean on the line. Welcome, Jean.
Hello, Jean.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
How can I help?
I'm 90 years old, and I had a really bad experience last night in bed. I had my, first of all, I have a lot of inflammation in my feet, okay. ankles and legs. And during my rest, I had like kind of like nerves. My legs and feet would kind of raise up and anyway, I couldn't sleep, and this went on for over 2 hours. And I don't know what caused that. And finally, I dozed off. I was going to get up and take some Arnica and also magnesium oil, mm-hmm. But I didn't. I just dozed off finally after 2 hours.
Okay. Your feet and legs were moving involuntarily. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So kind of like a restless leg syndrome. Hmm. Has this been an ongoing issue, or is this just a one-time thing?
One time.
Good. All right. Because there is a syndrome called restless leg syndrome where this goes on and on and on night after night after mm-hmm. night. And that then requires some rather potent prescription medications to put a stop to it, to quell the moving. But if it's just one time, then I'm not too terribly excited. Yes, magnesium helps with a fair number of people. It can be a magnesium oil that you rub into your calves and feet, or it can be magnesium tablets or capsules that you take orally. But that seems to help for a fair number of people if it's a mild case.
Okay, and I do have. I usually take the magnesium 500 before I go to bed.
Okay, did you forget it last night?
No, I did take it, but I also then I was going to get up and rub that magnesium oil on me, but yes. I didn't. Then that's when I dozed off.
Okay, well, the magnesium oil may well have helped, or the other choice, of course, would be to double up occasionally on your oral magnesium. The biggest problem with doubling up on the oral magnesium is it might make you have to get up to use the restroom because it tends to be a cathartic. It tends to make you poop.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay. Right.
But it certainly helps with the leg cramps and restless legs. So, you know, two magnesiums instead of one might be something to try from time to time. Just be aware that if you do it too often, you may spend more time in the restroom.
Oh, I'm so relieved. I couldn't understand what happened last night that it like that.
No, I my guess is that's what's going on. You got to recognize I'm the guy on the radio. You know, I'm not your regular doctor. I can't examine you. I can't do any testing. All I can go by is what you tell me. So, you know,
okay.
I give an educated guess rather than a diagnosis.
Okay, well, that helps me so much. Thank you. Thank you again.
You're welcome, ma'am. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Jean. We will take a quick break, and we have room for you and your phone call. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Mixon on the air today for Leading Edge Medicine, here's that number to call. We are live, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. 421-5757. We'll take a quick break and we will be back. We're going to talk to JP next on Leading Edge Medicine.
Hands, touching hands, reaching out.
Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Dr. Umat is off this week and next, and Dr. Mixon is here in the studio.
I am indeed.
Yes, you are, and we're taking phone calls. Here's the number to get through for the last half hour of our show, 206-421-5757, and we have JP on the line calling in from Kirkland. Hi, JP.
Hello, JP.
Hello, how are you doing?
Well, I'm just curious. Are you from the Deep South originally?
Me?
You. It's the name, JP, yeah. The initials. The initials tend to be a Southern tradition. I have a cousin, JC, and Uncle EB.
Oh.
I'm from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, yes.
Oh, right, there
see?
You go.
That's
good job.
All right.
You know your stuff, Doc.
Yes, he does.
prior to the callers, the two callers prior to me, I also have acid reflux that I take CIMETIDINE 4 milligrams. So that might help her.
Mm-hmm. But that turns off the stomach acid.
Yeah, that helps me out with my acid reflux. But,
all right.
Well, yeah, but I was calling in.
That's sold under the brand name Pepcid, which she was already taking.
Oh.
Oh, that's not working for her. Oh, well, it works for me.
Yeah, hey, it works for a lot of people. That's why they sell it. So,
yeah.
How can I help you today,
sir? This cream stuff, I've been to the doctor, and he said that my testosterone is pretty high, but sometimes I have ED, but I've gone to the doctor, and he says that I'm fine, so several times. And so will this cream work since the doctor's saying that I'm okay, but yet he's not with me in the bedroom?
I do understand that. How old are you?
I just turned 60 a couple of days ago.
Interesting. The statistics are that 50% of men by age 50 have some degree of ED. So about your time. Do you know what your testosterone levels are? Does he give you a number?
No, I don't have that with me.
Okay. So the question is, are you normal for your age, or are you normal for a healthy young man? Because there's a big difference.
Okay. Well, what's normal?
That's the point. What is normal, and what is your goal? You see, when we were...
Well, I want to always be ready when it's time to do it.
Yeah. Well, see, when you were 18 or 20 years old, your total testosterone would probably range between 1,000 and 1,200. And by 50, most men are in the 200 to 250 range. So you've dropped from over 1,000 to about 200, 250 as a total testosterone. So 200 in the 200s is perfectly, quote, normal for a man of 50. It would be awful for a boy of 18. All right. So the question is, how do you define your goals? Our goal at Longevity Medical Clinic is not age normed. We, even men in their 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, try to run them up around 800 or so. Not as high as an 18-year-old boy, but much higher than, quote, normal for a 50, 60, 70-year-old man. We're trying to get them in the nice, robust range that we would typically find in a 25 to 30-year-old, and most men do quite well there.
In the 800 range.
Yeah, total testosterone up around 800. A free testosterone of 150 to 180 kind of for most of our men. But again, it depends on what each individual needs. And testosterone load is not the only reason for ED. Of course, very commonly, it is a blood vessel issue. You're not making enough nitric oxide to dilate those little arterioles to have high-pressure blood going into the penis to make it expand and get hard. That requires a high-pressure arterial blood flow. And if you're not making enough nitric oxide to do that, well, then you don't get that response. And many men's nitric oxide production is down by over 90% by the time they're in their 50s, which is why a medications like tadalafil or sildenafil, those drugs prevent you from getting rid of nitric oxide as fast, so that whatever you make, you keep longer, and that then provides better erectile function.
What are those two medicines called again?
Well, the generic names are tadalafil. That's my favorite one for most of the guys in my practice.
But can you spell that?
T-A-D-A-L-A-F-I-L. Tadalafil.
Yeah. Oh, good.
And the other one is
sildenafil.
No, it's prescription drugs, unfortunately.
Oh.
But it's not very expensive, right, Dr. Nixon?
It's cheap. If you buy the tadalafil rather than the brand name Cialis is several dollars a pill. Tadalafil, the generic, is maybe 30, 40 cents a pill. And we just give a small dose every day. I like it because it lasts for up to 36 hours. So I have the guys take a small dose each day. And they just are always then prepared. If the occasion arises that they want to make love, their body is better prepared to respond. So it functions more like
this. Oh, so this is something you take a portion of this daily? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, every day. Take it with your vitamins, with your supplements. Yeah. And it works very well for many men. And as a side effect, it cuts the risk of prostate cancer in half.
Well, whereas with Cialis, it does have them give you the chance of catching prostate cancer, correct?
No. Again, Cialis lowers the risk. It doesn't increase the risk. It lowers the risk. Cuts the risk in half.
Oh, okay.
So men who use these drugs regularly, they actually have a lower risk of getting prostate cancer. They also improve the blood flow to their brain and the blood flow to their muscles, so they're able to work out and exercise better, and their head works better.
Well, Cialis gives me a backache for some reason when I take it.
Okay, what dose are you taking?
I don't know. It's
I don't
take it often, but when I do, I'm hesitant to take it because it gives me a backache or something.
See, they make a 2.5, a 5, a 10, and a 20. All right. So there's a wide range of doses.
Is it 5, 10, and 20?
They make a 2.5, a 5 milligram, 10 milligram, and 20 milligram. And so in someone like you, if you were my patient, I'd probably start you on the 2.5 and let you take it every day. And if you started getting backaches, I'd drop it back to five days a week, because it lasts for up to 36 hours per dose. So small doses on a daily basis. So you're looking for a dose that will give you a good erectile response but not give you the side effects.
Right, because sometimes it gives my headache or my back hurts.
Yeah. And see, that tells me that your dose is a little too high for you.
Oh, okay.
So I'd take another look at your testosterone load. You know, I'd put that in a young man's range, not in an old man's range. And then I would consider something like the tadalafil at a lower dose. Now, there are three common ED drugs out there. Okay. Viagra is sildenafil. That's the shortest acting. That only works 3 to 4 hours. So if you're going to get a side effect from it, it goes away quickly because it's a short acting drug. The downside of it is it is the one that causes the most side effects. Tadalafil lasts the longest, but is kind of medium in side effects. And then there's a third one called Levitra, and it has the fewest side effects. But it
can you spell that, Doc?
Levitra, L-E-V-I-T-R-A. And that lasts around 10 to 12 hours. So it's lasts longer than the Viagra, but not as long as the Cialis. But it has the fewest side effects.
So you said L-E-D as in dog?
No, L-E-V as in Victor. Levitra.
Oh, L-E-V-T-R-A.
Yeah. L-E-V-I-T-R-A. Levitra.
Okay, thank you, Doc.
Okay, so chat with your doctor about all of these, and, you know, if you do a little experimenting, talk to him about where he's wanting to carry your testosterone, and then talk to him about the choices in the ED drugs.
All right.
All right. Thank you for
okay.
the call, sir.
Yes, thank you, JP. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be back. I think we're going to stay on the same topic, Dr. Mixon. We have Joe in Mount Lake Terrace and Bob in Bellevue next. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
So many fun activities.
It totally does. We believe in staying alive here.
Definitely.
At longevity. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to see if we can get two more calls in, Dr. Mixon. We have Joe in Mount Lake Terrace wants to talk about that Cialis. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, doctor. I'm actually JP2. My initials are JPR, and I happen to be the second, having been named after my grandfather.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And see, my relatives are all down in South Carolina. And so,
well,
that's how come you know.
I have JCs, JBs, EBs.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm a Yankee, born and bred. But anyway, my wife and I have resumed getting affectionate. And
good.
I'm not able to get an erection. So never mind, hold one. So I thought, well, maybe Cialis is a good idea. I've heard Dr. Mixon talk about it. Uh-huh. I'm 74. I'm technically obese. Let's see, what else? Diabetic. And I'm going to my doctor this week, so I was going to ask her about a prescription. But I thought I'd get an expert opinion first.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've told me several things that raise your risk of ED. You know, diabetes is famous for it because you do blood vessel and nerve damage. So, and the neurologic plexus involved in erections and orgasm are legion. Lots and lots of sympathetic and parasympathetic discharges.
Yeah, I'm able to ejaculate. Yeah,
and then the blood supply is another issue. And then the weight, you know, you get inflammation in all the tissues because fat is not just a cosmetic. It's actually pro-inflammatory. Yeah. That's why it raises the risk of cancers. So, yes, go talk to your doctor about the Cialis, but also talk to your doctor about, you know, getting the weight down. That'll make the diabetes easier to control, which will also then help the rest of your issues.
That's been an ongoing discussion. I'm maintaining my youthful figure.
Right. Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, we now have an awful lot of kids in their teens that fit the criteria for obesity, and unless we can change things, they will stay that way their entire life. Have they looked at the newer medications like the semaglutide to help you lose the weight?
No, we haven't talked about that.
Talk to your doctor about it, because semaglutide is a revolutionary, because it absolutely decreases appetite. You just don't think about food. Mm-hmm. And it makes it much easier not to eat.
Yeah. Okay, I don't think I'm too bad on that. And I don't snack. I've just always been heavy.
Yep. Okay.
Well, and, okay,
have the doctor do a percentage of body fat, and then you can use things like semaglutide, but the testosterone also shifts metabolism towards muscle. And then the blood vessel dilatation is an issue with the things like Cialis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll talk to her, I guess, this week.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you there, Joe. I love that we had two JPs right in a row there.
Only this one's a JPR.
That's right, JPR. All right, our last caller for the day, calling in from Bellevue, we have Bob. Welcome to the show, Bob. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Okay, this is prostate issue number 47, I guess you'd say.
All right.
Started last year when I went to my local doctor and had a PSA test done. It was 4.5. He said, you know, maybe you should go see a urologist and get this checked out. So I did. Made an appointment, and time went by. They did another prostate, and it was 9.7. So, and then I was scheduled for I had an MRI done, too, by the way, and a biopsy. So, after that, I came home, as a matter of fact, after that, and I had as I say to my buddy, I was trying to separate fact from fiction, and I had this medical book, and I looked at it, and it said, I'm a little nervous, but anyway, eat kale, pomegranate, salt palmetto, do Kegeling exercises, basically no beer, no wine, cut back on the sugar, and I do take that, Tadalafil, however you pronounce that.
Tadalafil.
So anyway, I had another PSA test done, and I got down to 4.5. I went in and I showed him this. And by the way, when I was there, I asked him, I said, is there anything I could do? I asked the doctor, I asked the nurse, is there anything I can do to bring this down? And they said, no. Well, and when I came back, and they were almost dumbfounded that I had a 4.5.
Yeah.
So anyway, my biggest mistake was having the biopsy done. After that, I called in over the phone and they said, how are you feeling? Well, I can tolerate a lot of pain. And I was having this irritation when urinating. Finally, over the weekend, it really got bad. And they're like, holy mackerel, this is crazy. So I called them up and I said, what can I do? And they said, well, come on in for urinalysis. So I get that done. There's no bacteria, no other sensations, if you will, forming in the urine or in your body, I should say. And what can I do? Well, I don't know. So finally the one there said, go to Costco and take AZO. Well, I took it and it didn't quite get the job done. And I wound up going to a homeopathy doctor and I tried U-Track. It's over the counter, U-TRACK, my Progressive Professionals is a brand, and that really works. And anyway, they said, why don't you take MSM sulfur, berberine plus, I can't pronounce this, Curel C Zorb SR, and Spectazole.
Okay.
It's a modified citrus pectin. So I did all that and so on and so forth. And I went to another urological clinic here in Bellevue. And last time I was checked, it was 4.3. But the crux of it is that I have a little trouble with ED too. But when I do, I can strain and push and shove, and the climax just does not occur. And when it does, it's somewhat painful. So I don't know whether I should go to Fred Hutch and, the first place they said, well, what you need to do, I get a call a couple of months later after I refused to get the radiation test done. And this person, they were somewhat upset that I refused to do that. And she called me back. I couldn't believe this. It was about 4 months later and said, when are you coming in for your radiation tests and your prostate removal? And I said, what?
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, and again, it was almost gleeful in the voice, and I'm like, holy mackerel. So anyway, like I said, whenever, and from that period of time, it's coming up in the year, I've had a climax maybe five times, and it's on the painful side. Right. So I don't know whether I should go into Fred Hutch. They have this new laser program, which is not new. If you know, what's his name? Stanislav Brzezinski started this in Texas, and I'm told that it works. What's your take on that? I theorize that I have some kind of blockage or something like that between the prostate and the urinary tract. I don't know.
Well, and you may have. Tell you what, unfortunately, we've got about 1 minute left in the show. So we're going to have to split. Call me early next week, okay? I'll be here again. I think I'm here the next 2 weeks, and the third week I'm gone. So, but give us a call and let's chat a little bit about it, because you're bringing up some interesting stuff. And I'm going to give you one quick piece of advice before I have to sign off. And that is, if you're not exercising now, I want you to start an aggressive exercise program, vigorous exercise, 150 minutes a week at least. For one thing, that slows prostate cancer growth and enhances your chances of surviving, even if there is a prostate cancer there, by 40%+. And so, you know, let's do everything we can to shift the odds in your favor, because you sound like you're not real hesitant to have a lot of surgery and radiation. So let's see what we can do within what you personally will accept to give you the best shot at this, okay? Call me back next week, early in the show, so we have plenty of time to chat about it. Thank you for the call, sir.
Yes,
we'll be
thank
back
you, Bob.
Next time.
Yep, call the same number, but we'll get you in closer to 10 than at the end of the show, because we want to talk more about this. Well, that's our time. That's it for Leading Edge Medicine today. You have a great rest of your weekend. We will be back next week with Dr. Jerry Mixon and for the eyes, Dr. Michael Gilbert.
That's right.
Next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine.
Dr.
brought to
Gilbert's
you.
Gilbert's going to keep an eye on you.
Yes, he will. The eyes have it. On Longevity Medical Clinics, bringing you Leading Edge Medicine. Have a great day.